Hello and welcome aboard the Battleship Pretension. I'm Tyler Smith.
I'm David Bax.
And thank you for listening. David.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I've kicked off the new year in my... I've said this before. Well, I said it on the Patreon. I can't remember if I said it on the podcast. Classic.
Exactly.
Classic recipe podcast. Even though I'm not normally a New Year's resolution person, my desire to better myself kind of coincided with the beginning of January this year, so I've started changing my diet and workout, and like I feel great / exhausted and sore.
Of course.
How are you?
I'm good. Is everything okay there?
I'm just trying to manipulate this computer one-handed, and it's not...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm doing all right, but I will say, earlier today, I was having a thought that came about because of our contributor, Josh Long, having written a movie, or rather co-written a movie, called Some Other Woman, which is out in theaters now, but only in Regal theaters. So I'll say this, I read the script. He wrote the original script. I read the script like 4.5 years ago, and I remember thinking it was great. And so when he told me that it was actually gonna get made, I was actually very excited. And I believe it only played at like one festival, which is called the Mammoth Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many they submitted it to, but anyway, they did that. And so as the release of the film was coming up, I went over to Letterboxd and was looking at some of the reviews, and there were a lot more than I thought there was going to be, but then I realized, like, oh right, this is all people from the Mammoth Film Festival.
Mm.
And I mean, it just fascinated me because it got some pretty poor reviews, and consistently the reviews were like this didn't make any sense, and like I expected them to like explain what was going on, and they never did. And it's one of those things where like I read the script, and yeah, I mean, it's, there's some stuff, some unusual things, some supernatural things that are not explained. But I don't care, because the tone was good. And it just got me thinking, like, this was on Letterboxd. People said this. And, like, when I think of Letterboxd, I think of a little bit, like, film-savvy people.
Yeah, a little more sophistication.
Right. Which led me to think, like, have, like, more normal people, like, have they found Letterboxd? Because that complaint... To me, like, when is the last time you ever complained that something didn't make sense? I don't think I've used that phrase in a long time. I might say that, like, oh, well, this wasn't consistent with the world that it created.
Sure.
But I don't remember the last time I complained about something not making sense.
Yeah.
So it just got me thinking about...
I mean, I went to see the Talking Heads, and I was the opposite. I said, stop making sense.
Yeah. But there are some people in that crowd, they're like, can you please start making sense? But yeah, and so it just got me thinking about, like, you know, Letterboxd has been around for a while. And again, yeah, when I think of it, I think of it as movie people. But I don't know. Maybe it's just regular people that use it now as well.
Ugh.
And I guess there's no real way to know. But when I look at something like that, and I see that complaint over and over again, well, hey, on one hand, maybe the director screwed the movie up. Maybe it doesn't make sense. But based on the elaboration of these comments, I was like, yeah, I think maybe they are not into this kind of movie. And so it just kind of surprised me, like, anytime something that is a little bit more niche to, like, my groups becomes a little bit more widely accepted, it's not frustrating, but it's more like, oh, I I didn't expect that. So, but I might be wrong. Maybe it's just regular movie people that thought the film was going to be one thing and it turned out to be something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, listeners, feel free to find out for yourself by going to see Some Other Woman, co-written by our own Josh Long.
Yeah.
And in Regal Theaters now.
At your local Regal Theater. You can go to the relatively new NoHo West.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen one movie there so far, so it'd be fun to see something else. Okay.
David, what are we doing today?
What's that?
First, we're finding out about Tweaked Audio.
Yeah, first I want to tell you about TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com is where you go for professional quality earbuds in a variety of stylish styles and colorful colors. They look great, they sound great. I use them each and every day. Today I was listening, as I often do at this time of year, I spend a lot of time cramming metal albums that are well-reviewed from the previous year that I never caught up with, you know, before I have an official albums of the year list. I don't know what official means. I don't, like... I might put it on Blue Sky. It's mostly for me and friend of the show, Sean Ingram, to talk about our favorite albums of the year. So today, actually this morning, I was listening to a fantastic new death metal album. But now I've laughed about some of the dumb names of bands that I like on here. This band name is stupid in a way that's annoying, I guess.
What do you got? Well,
the album is called Necrofuneral.
Okay.
The band name, I think, I'm almost entirely sure, is supposed to be Vomitheist, like a religion that, like, a religious person who worships some sort of vomit god, I guess.
Okay.
But look at the word Vomitheist written out. What does it say?
I can't quite tell.
Do you see it up in the under the artwork to the left?
Yeah.
It says
Vomit Heist.
Which... Netflix's sequel to Money Heist, yeah, I guess.
That's what I want to see. Like, all right, guys.
So that's definitely, I mean, I think you and I talked about in one of these segments, the band, a very good band called Tomb Mold, and how annoying it is to say their name out loud.
Yeah.
Tomb Mold. This one's, they just didn't think this through.
Yeah.
Vomit Heist? So Vomit Theist.
You know, incorporate, get a hyphen in there or something like that.
Well... Where would you put it? If you wanted to be Vomitheist, where would you put that?
You have to have another T. And so Vomit.
Okay.
Theist.
What if you kept it all one word, but you capitalized the one T? Vomitheist.
Yeah.
I mean, it would still say Vomit Heist, but at least it would be clearer what was meant. Anyway, still, great album. Sounded great on my TweakedAudio.com earbuds that are available at a low, low price at TweakedAudio.com. But if you use the offer code Pretension at checkout, you get 1/3 off that low, low price and no shipping charges. So please go to TweakedAudio.com and use the offer code Pretension.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
And we, due to scheduling, we don't have a lot of time to do this. So this is going to be kind of a lightning round version of our annual Sundance preview episode. So if anyone has forgotten how this goes, I am going to give Tyler two films. And he's going to tell me which one.
That are playing at the same time, roughly.
I try to do that.
Yeah.
We don't have time this year.
Okay.
I am just going alphabetical.
Okay.
Through films that are on my maybe to see list.
Okay.
Now, if you've listened to these Sundance previews specifically, more so than the TIFF previews, the Sundance previews, you know what's going to happen, which is that there's going to be in this episode, there's going to be a lot of documentaries because Sundance is a very doc-heavy festival. Yeah. I'm almost willing to like start bets, like take an over-under on how many documentaries I actually see, because I don't tend to see very many, even though, like I said, I think the kind of documentaries that play Sundance are not necessarily my kind of documentaries. Yeah. They tend to be more like explainers or, you know, right.
Talking heads and stuff.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Okay.
With the first pairing alphabetically.
Okay.
So, this is a documentary. It's called And So It Goes.
Okay.
Amidst the traditional pomp and circumstance of Filipino elections, a quirky people's movement rises to defend the nation against deepening threats to truth and democracy. In a collective act of joy as a form of resistance, hope flickers against the backdrop of increasing autocracy.
That sounds very interesting.
So yeah, this is...
And So It Goes, all right.
Yeah, that's And So It Goes. The director's name is Ramona S. Diaz.
Okay.
And I'm putting that up against a non-documentary movie called Between the Temples. A cantor, this is someone who sings
right.
in a synagogue.
Okay.
I don't know. Look, not everyone is married right. to a Jewish person like I am and learns, you know, the secret words like cantor. A cantor in a crisis of faith finds his world turned upside down when his grade school music teacher re-enters his life as his new adult bat mitzvah student. So, let's find the cast. Jason Schwartzman plays the cantor.
Oh, okay.
And Carol Kane plays the woman who is being bat mitzvahed late in life. It looks like Robert Smigel also makes an appearance here. So it's And So It Goes or Between the Temples. Get it? And, temples?
No, yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, up until you read the cast, I would have said the documentary.
Yeah.
But I like all those people.
Yep.
I think Between the Temples, just for Carol Kane.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But that documentary does sound really good. And I feel like the concept of it is something that we really need right now. Mm-hmm. The idea of rebellion through happiness and through joy. I don't know. Sounds really interesting.
Well, they say that love trumps hate.
I've heard that.
That's what they say. All right. So, next pairing.
Yeah.
Another documentary.
Okay.
This one's called Devo. It's about Devo. Born in response to the Kent State Massacre, new wave band Devo took their concept of de-evolution from cult following to near rock star status with groundbreaking 1980 hit Whip It while preaching an urgent social commentary. So that's Devo, and it is directed by Chris Smith of American Movie fame.
Yeah.
And some bad stuff since then.
Yeah, I just watched a four-part series that he did on Netflix called Bad Vegan.
Oh.
It was interesting.
Okay. That's listed here. He did that one, and he did... he did Senior, right? The Robert Downey Senior one? Is that him?
Oh.
I don't think
I remember.
But, yeah. He also did he did Operation Varsity Blues.
Oh, okay.
About the, like, you know, Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman and getting their kids into
right.
USC.
Right.
And other people, too. Those are just the two big names. Okay, so that's Devo. And I'm putting that up against... I reveal the players after. The movie is called Freaky Tales. In 1987, Oakland, a mysterious force guides the town's underdogs in four interconnected tales. Teen punks defend their turf against Nazi skinheads, a rap duo battles for hip-hop immortality, a weary henchman gets a shot at redemption, and an NBA All-Star settles the score. Basically, another day in the bay. But this is directed...
And had me, then he lost me.
Yeah, I don't know who gets to write those. It's directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck of Half Nelson.
Okay.
Also of Captain Marvel. But the cast includes Pedro Pascal, Ben Mendelsohn. Those are the big names.
Okay.
Jay Ellis. Who is that? Jay Ellis.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think Another Day in the Bay. I think that's the one to see.
It's called Freaky Towns.
What's up?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, Devo sounds good, of course.
But I mean, my thing. Whenever there's like a documentary about a band or musician, yeah. It's like my question is always: is this any more illuminating than spending the same amount of time listening to their music? And the answer is almost always no.
Yeah.
But I mean, Todd Haynes made that Velvet Underground documentary, and that was beautiful. So.
Well, I feel like any kind of documentary about an artist, I feel like the documentarian should try to sort of, in his own style, like evoke the art that the artist
has
made.
Exactly what the Velvet Underground one does. And then I also, this isn't about one artist, but what was it called? Oh my god, the Questlove documentary. Summer of Soul.
Yeah. Summer of Soul, that's the one.
Summer of Soul? Yeah, that's also a really good one, but because it really centers the music. I hate when you're like watching a documentary about an artist and you hear like the beginning of a song and then some idiot starts like bloviating over it. It's like, ugh. Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah, this is, I'm not going to.
Okay. Don't bias me.
Yeah, next up, a documentary.
Okay.
Called Gaucho Gaucho. A celebration of a community of Argentine cowboys and cowgirls known as Gaucho, living beyond the boundaries of the modern world.
Okay.
And that is from directors Michael Dweck and Gregory Kershaw, who made The Last Race in 2018, and in 2020 made The Truffle Hunters, which might have been on my top 10 movies of the year list, I think, or close to it. So that's not to put my thumb on the scale, but this is a documentary that I might actually go out of my way to see.
So that's Gaucho Gaucho.
Gaucho. Okay. And that's up against Girls State, which is from the same people who made Boys State, if you remember that documentary.
Okay.
Teenage girls from all the different backgrounds across Missouri navigate a week-long immersive experiment to American democracy, build a government from the ground up, and reimagine what it means to govern. So this is like a sequel to Boys State, essentially.
I already saw Barbie. I think Gaucho.
Yeah, these guys, Michael Dweck and Gregory Kershaw, some of the best documentarians going, if you ask me.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so far I've been highlighting premieres, but Sundance also has the spotlight section where they screen things that have played other festivals but have not been released.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they even have release dates, but this will be my last chance probably to see Richard Linklater's Hitman on a big screen before it shows up on Netflix. So or as Scott will remind me, there are theaters in LA that show the Netflix movies. So that's Richard Linklater's Hitman. I don't know if you know. A straight-laced professor discovers his hidden talent as a fake hitman. He meets his match in a client who steals his heart. It ignites a powder keg of deception, delight, and mixed-up identities. Inspired by an unbelievable true story. Well, I hope it's somewhat believable.
Yeah, I know. Who's in it?
It's Glenn Powell, isn't it?
Glenn Powell, who is that?
See, I'm so glad you said that, because people who listen to this podcast know Scott and Julie are big fans of Glenn Powell.
Yeah. Wait, I know. He was in Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, right? He was like the smarmy guy who ends up being a good guy.
He was the new Val Kilmer.
Yeah. But he was also, he played John Glenn in Hidden Figures.
Yeah, that's right.
He's, right now, I haven't seen it, he's in Anyone But You, the new rom-com with him.
Yeah, not getting good reviews.
Yeah, unfortunately. People keep waiting for a movie to like bring back the romantic comedy, but they keep not getting the good reviews. Okay, so that's Hitman.
Okay.
And I'm going to put that up against, this is going to be a Sophie's Choice. Luckily, they're not actually playing against each other. This will be a Sophie's Choice for David. I saw the TV glow.
Okay.
Teenager Owen is just trying to make it through life in the suburbs when his classmate introduces him to a mysterious late-night TV show, a vision of a supernatural world beneath their own. In the pale glow of the television, Owen's view of reality begins to crack.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's before you even know. It's directed by Jane Schoenbrunn, who directed We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I okay. think is one of the best American films of the 2020s so far.
Oh, wow. All right.
And the cast includes Justice Smith from Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also from Detective Pikachu, Pokemon, whatever it was called. But Dungeons and Dragons.
The last Jurassic World movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that one.
It's not good.
Bridget Lundy Payne, who was one of... they were in Bill and Ted Face the Music. They were the daughter that wasn't Samara Weaving, the other okay. daughter.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's so good.
I know.
Also, Helena Howard from Madeline's Madeline, Danielle Deadweiler from Till, and, what's this name here? Fred fucking Durst is in this movie.
Man.
Apparently, there's a bunch of musicians. There's also, Snail Mail, if you know who she is.
Is he listed as that?
No, Fred she's
fucking,
not.
Fred fucking Durst.
No, just Fred Durst. But yeah, I know Snail Mail, I can't remember her name, but the woman who records music as Snail Mail is in the movie. There's a bunch of other indie rock musicians, and then also Fred Durst.
Yeah.
I am so stoked about this movie.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
But when I told Natalie about it, she was like, it sounds too hipstery. But
it could.
It could be, but yeah, if I had to pick between Hitman and I Saw the TV Glow, I think I'd go with I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
But luckily I won't have to pick, and I'll probably see both of them.
Yeah, Hitman sounds good too.
Yeah. Okay, so another documentary called Look Into My Eyes. A group of New York City psychics conduct deeply intimate readings for their clients, revealing a kaleidoscope of loneliness, connection, and healing.
Okay.
Directed by Lana Wilson, who made Miss Americana, the Taylor Swift documentary that I saw at Sundance in 2020 and quite liked. That's probably why I put this on my list. Because reading that, I was like, I don't remember reading about this. But it's like, okay, Lana Wilson, that's why I put it on my list. And then another documentary. This one is called Power. Driven to maintain social order, policing in the United States has exploded in scope and scale over hundreds of years. Now, American policing embodies one word, power. And this is directed by Yance Ford, who made the documentary Strong Island that got a lot of awards attention back in like 2017, I think. I don't think it got an Oscar. No, it was not nominated for an Oscar. It was an Oscar nominated documentary.
What's the first one called?
Strong Island.
No. I mean,
the two movies. Look Into My Eyes or Power.
I think Look Into My Eyes sounds just on a human level. I feel like, they both sound interesting. I love stuff about the police and like how...
Like that Andy Summer documentary? Okay.
I can't even cover my ears.
Okay, so you're saying Look Into My Eyes.
I think so.
Let's see. Okay, next two. All right. This one is called Presence.
Okay.
It has a very simple...
With a C-E?
With a C-E,
okay.
Yeah. So I should say when I'm reading these, I'm reading... There's always multiple paragraphs.
Yeah.
And I've just been reading the first one.
Oh, okay.
Because the second one is more background of the film. The first one is just like... So this one has a one-line description.
Presence.
A family moves into a suburban house and becomes convinced they're not alone. Do you want to know the cast?
Yes.
Lucy Liu.
Okay.
And Julia Fox.
Oh.
Do you want to know the director?
Yes.
His name is Steven Soderbergh.
Oh. All right.
Okay. So... and I'm putting that up against a poor contender called Sasquatch Sunset. Okay, well, this one, it really just says a year in the life of a singular family.
That's all it says?
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Does it have anything to do with Sasquatch?
Yeah, so it's about a family of Sasquatches.
Oh.
And it is directed by, you're going to like this, David and Nathan Zellner.
Oh.
So you've got Soderberg up against the Zellners. Oh, I should give you the cast here. Sorry. Riley Keough and Jesse Eisenberg and Nathan Zellner are all in the movie.
Oh, that one. Sasquatch Sunset.
Okay.
All day long.
More than the Steven Soderbergh horror movie?
Yeah.
Oof. Luckily, I won't really have to choose. Hopefully, I'll get to see both of them.
I think the Zellners are just so... They have such a unique voice. And also, I think Riley Keough is a way underrated actress.
Not by me.
Well, yeah, not by me either, but...
I rate her very high, yeah.
Between Balazs and Zola, I feel like she's been doing really great work lately.
And I can't remember... You have not seen American Honey?
No, I haven't.
You should see American Honey.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Okay. You'll notice most of, and I said this a little bit with our episode 2 weeks ago in the intro about how Sundance is not like an arbiter of the state of film because it's very narrow and it's mostly American. But I always I try to see something foreign.
Yeah.
At Sundance. So here we do have, I think this is a Mexican movie. It's called, well, if it's Mexican, I guess it would be Suho. It's like, it's okay. S-U-J-O.
Oh, yeah.
When a cartel gunman is killed, he leaves behind Suho, his beloved 4-year-old son. Aww. The shadow of violence surrounds Suho during each stage of his life in the isolated Mexican countryside. As he grows into a man, Suho finds that fulfilling his father's destiny may be inescapable.
Okay.
And that is up against a documentary called Union, which is a documentary about the Amazon labor union. A group of current and former Amazon workers in New York City's Staten Island takes on one of the world's largest and most powerful companies in the fight to unionize. That's that. I didn't give you any
credits.
Yeah, but I don't think there's no, I mean, Suho doesn't have any like famous people in it. And Union is, let's see, directed by Stephen Mang and Brett Story. Mm.
That's tough. On one hand, the story of Suho, doesn't sound that groundbreaking.
Right.
Whereas the documentary is kind of a standard, David and Goliath kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's, a documentary, I feel would intrigue me more.
Okay. I just remember, I tend to, I don't know, push back against films that are made to make me feel good about my political positions.
Oh, sure.
And so I feel Union, even though I'm very pro-union, but it's kind of how I felt about American Factory, which I remember if you saw the Netflix American Factory. It's a similar thing. It's I like everything this movie is for, but it's it's just laid out for me to like it, I guess.
And that's interesting because, I'm not against private sector unions at all. So it's not really against my political beliefs, but I'm sure it is more left-leaning than I am. And so, for me, it doesn't feel like it's pandering or anything like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So, you reminded me, I read, this was maybe a year ago, months ago, there was a poll that revealed that, Americans are generally in favor of labor unions if the pollster doesn't use the word union. If the pollster, describes what, collective bargaining is, people are for it. Yeah. Once the word union comes into play, and there's less, unions have become more and more popular over the years, but there's still people who have a sort of knee-jerk pushback just against unions, but if collective bargaining is described to them, they're in favor of it.
Well, and when you think about we were in a Cold War with a union, with a country that had union in its name, so I feel we just naturally associate that term with bad things.
Meanwhile, to go back to Suho, it is directed by Astrid Rondero and Fernanda Valadez, who directed a movie a few years ago called Identifying Features, which is as pleasant as the title makes it sound. So if Suho sounds like it's going to be heavy, I'm saying, based on the information I have, it's probably going to be real heavy.
Okay.
And now we're going to end, because I miscounted, we are going to end with a three-way face-off. Wait, what is this? Actually, I think we're not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, yeah. No, I clicked on what I didn't mean to. So we do have just a two.
Oh, man.
Two-way thing. Sorry.
Can you find a third one?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I could, but...
Yeah.
Okay. We have a documentary called Will and Harper.
Okay.
When Will Ferrell finds out his close friend of 30 years is coming out as a trans woman, the two decide to embark on a cross-country road trip to process this new stage of their relationship in an intimate portrait of friendship, transition, and America. So it's Will Ferrell and his trans friend driving across the country, and it is weirdly directed by Josh Greenbaum, who made Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully it'll be funny.
Yeah.
And I'm putting that up against Winner, which is a fictionalized account of the Reality Winner story. Reality Winner is a brilliant young misfit from a Texas border town who finds her morals challenged while serving as an NSA contractor. A sarcastic, gun-loving, vegan, yogi, and CrossFit fanatic, Reality is an unconventional whistleblower who ends up being prosecuted for exposing Russia's hacking of the 2016 election. So there was a... there was already a movie about Reality Winner called Reality, right?
And now, I don't know.
Now there's Winner. And that is directed by Susanna Fogel, who just this year made Cat Person.
Yeah.
Also made Life Partners, which I really liked. Because it had my gal Leighton Meester in it. This one does not have my gal Leighton Meester in it, but it has a pretty good cast. Emilia Jones, Connie Britton, and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, I do love Connie Britton.
Who doesn't? Yeah. That hair.
Yeah.
What, I had a hair on her.
I worry that the documentary could feel a little bit self-congratulatory.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always a concern when it follows a celebrity, like, doing something socially important.
Okay,
even if it's a comedian.
Okay, just keep those two in mind. Okay. I am going to throw in a third.
Hey, all right.
But what about Winner?
I mean, it sounds interesting. That also pushes just a few pleasure buttons for me. I tend to like movies about whistleblowers.
Okay, so a third one is another documentary. It's called War Game. A bipartisan group of U.S. defense, intelligence, and elected policymakers spanning five presidential administrations participate in an unscripted role-play exercise in which they confront a political coup backed by rogue members of the U.S. military in the wake of a contested presidential election. And that's directed by the guy who made The Overnighters, which I can't remember if you saw, but it's very up your alley.
Is that the...
The
family, right?
No, The Overnighters is the...
oh, right.
The guy, the church reverend who like put up all the guys who were looking for work, didn't have a place to live, and got a lot of blowback from his own...
Yeah, I never saw
parishioners?
That.
What do you call congregation?
Congregation.
You wouldn't say parishioners if it's not Catholic, so that's okay. Why. I tend to think in Catholic terms, but I know. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So now you've got Will and Harper, Winner, or War Game.
I think War Game, honestly.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
That sounds great.
Sounds very good. All right. Well.
Well, you've got your marching orders.
Yep.
So get to work.
we'll do. Let's see. You can find us. Hopefully, you'll see some reviews of these movies in the coming weeks at battleshipretention.com. You can, but I'll also do a podcast wrap up. You can email, or you can find. Let's see. What did I say? I've forgotten how I do this. You can email us at david@battleshippretension.com or tyler@battleshippretension.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. Follow Tyler on Twitter at More Lessons. My other podcast is called The One Where I Met Your Mother. My wife and I talk about the two sitcoms, Friends and How I Met Your Mother. My letterbox is David Bax. Tyler, anything else you want to plug right now? Besides you, your GoFundMe.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I've got a GoFundMe. Just to raise money for my physical therapy and other such things, which I have to pay out of pocket for. So yeah, any little bit helps. You can find a post about it that is pinned
right, to the homepage.
To the homepage for BP.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I would really appreciate anything you could do.
Yeah. Which also reminds me, okay, if I've done this right.
Okay.
Like Bill and Ted here.
Okay.
On last week's episode, we should have announced the new a new bonus for Patreon subscribers.
Right.
So
I think we mentioned it, but only.
No, I'm saying.
I see.
I'm about to record another episode later today that will come out before this one. So if I remember to do that, then you will already know that if you join the Patreon at patreon.com/battleshipretention, not only does that help Tyler and help us, keeps the lights on, as Adam Kroll used to say on his podcast, but you will also get a ballot for the BPs.
That's right.
Patrons are now members of the BP voting body.
Yeah.
So
you can really really fuck this thing up if you want to.
Yeah, you really think that, I don't know, Cocaine Bear is getting the shaft in the award season. Maybe you can sway it. But
maybe you're one of those Zack Snyder morons who feels like
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon really deserves some recognition.
Rebel Moon. Yeah.
I guess technically original screenplay, even though there's nothing original about it.
Oh yeah.
I hate that movie so much.
We didn't talk about the Barbie screenplay shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah,
fascinating.
I saw that.
Fascinating.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you for listening.
We'll get you next time.
Bye.
Bye.